Welcome back. It's season two of HugeCast. Like many of you, we're having to do things a little differently here at HugeCast HQ, which means we're recording our guests remotely instead of in our own studio, so you might notice a sound difference. But what hasn't changed is that we have some of the best guests to sit down and have a chat with us. Hold on to your hat, and welcome to HugeCast Season 2.
What's the name of this podcast?
Eugene Cast.
How am I supposed to pronounce that?
OIGcast.
A huge cast.
Huge cast.
You're listening to HugeCast.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. It's JoJo, and I'm talking with River McKenzie, who is a board member of Transponder. Like, I first read about Transponder in the August 6th issue of The Weekly. It was the Pride issue, where they'd put together a Pride March for Black trans lives, and I was hooked. I had to know more about them, and luckily, The Weekly was kind enough to have contact information in there, and I reached out to Transponder, and River got back to me, and so here we are. River, thanks for hanging out with me and talking about Transponder on HugeCast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
And so before we head into what Transponder does and all the things, let's talk about you and how you became involved with Transponder.
Yeah, so I was in community with the executive director at the time, Oblio Stroyman, and the board president, Cass Averill. So we were crossing paths in different ways. And they asked me to come sit in on a board meeting to see what I thought of it and whether I'd want to be the treasurer. And Seda Collier at the time was the treasurer. And I absolutely loved it and said yes immediately.
Well, two questions. When did Transponder start? When did it get going? And what made you love it? What was it about this community that you're like, yeah, I'm in?
Mm-hmm. So Transponder incorporated in 2015. And what made me just fall in love with Transponder is that it is an organization run by and for the trans and gender diverse community. So this is not an organization that is being run by folks who are not part of the community that they're serving. And it's wonderful and beautiful and gritty. It's just very real in that way. I feel like that's pretty unique. I've been involved in nonprofit. I'm still involved in nonprofits, and that's rare to see.
Yeah. One would think that you would have more people that aren't in the trans and gender community that are part of that. But who knows the circumstances better than those that live it every day?
Absolutely. Right. And so, you know, whether it's showing up to an event, you know, I love it because if you're a brand new community member and you're just coming to one of the events for the first time, you know, you see people leading the events and in the events who look like home. Right. And then as we're coming up with programming and services, it's really intuitive. I mean, we're already part of this community. We're friends with this community. And it's just this organic flow.
What kind of things are you guys hoping to do? Just bring more awareness to the transgender communities? What are some of the things that you guys are really focused on?
Yeah, so there's been mostly it's about direct services. So we have different support groups, and it's interesting in COVID times because what we have learned, we put out a survey to our community and, you know, to see what was happening, what needs were coming to the top during these times. Honestly, we expected to see more things like housing and food and employment security, as those tend to be issues that our community faces anyway. But honestly, what rose to the top, the top two, were access to mental health care right now and connection with community. And so what we did is we took all of our services that we were providing in person and moved them to an online platform. So all of our support groups are online, and we created more. So now we also have a T-BIPOC support group. We have book clubs.
Awesome.
We have a trans disability group. And then in addition to that, we've created services that can be home delivered. So we paired up with Mecca and have art kits that we can deliver to folks for free so they can be creating with us from their homes. There's a hormone needle delivery that we paired up with HIV Alliance to deliver. So people can be getting their hormones in their home. We paired up with As You Like It to have a gender-affirming products program so people can put in for vouchers and go in and get gender-affirming products like binders, packers, books. Pure Street Gardens we teamed up with so that people could go in and get vouchers for plants for the garden. Everybody's gardening in the pandemic. And,
yeah.
You know, our community often, you know, money is scarce, right? And so having access to these sorts of things is often just a challenge. So that's what we've been focusing on most recently. And then also having resource navigators to help those who are needing access with housing, employment, food scarcity, all that kind of stuff. And we're actually expanding those services this month.
Okay, that's amazing. I was just in my book club meeting today. And we're reading How to Be Anti-Racist, which it's amazing. And we were just having this discussion about community and how important belonging is and what happens to our mental health when we don't, when we feel so other that we can't get connected. So everything that Transponder does is about connection and belonging, like one of those hierarchies of needs.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we also provide trainings to local community partners, government agencies on, you know, how to make their places more inclusive, doctors. We also have an online resource navigation tool. So people can go on the website and say, you know, I'm looking for a doctor or I'm looking for a counselor or a hairstylist who is going to be good with our community. And, that's great. We've also been involved in legal advocacy, you know, with Bro. We were involved with getting the gender ID marker on the driver's license and IDs.
Yeah.
So while the majority of our services are exactly what you said, inclusion, belonging, you know, we're also trying to make this a safer space for us to live and thrive in our community.
Yes. And thank you for that, because inclusion right now, it just, ugh, like we just can't, I can't get enough of that myself.
yeah.
And so, so Transponder is a local organization, right?
It is. Yeah. We're located right here in Eugene, and, we are right across from the post office on Willamette Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where that is. Well, just the way that you were speaking with all of the services, it sounds like a well-oiled machine that has, you know, like it had a flavor of a national organization, which is why I'm like, it's local? Really? You guys are putting something bigger? Because that's amazing. Yeah.
It is it's local, and we only have 1.5 staff. And then the board and volunteers. So it's a lot of work being done by a few folks. So that's another area we're looking to, is just to grow our capacity.
Are you and Transponder, are you all getting requests for how well you're doing and how you've put all of this together from other communities? I was talking to Adam Wendt, and he's going to have an interview coming up here on HugeCast, or I think it will have already aired by now, that for 15th Night, and how the greater U.S. is looking at Eugene with cahoots, 15th Night, maybe Transponder, for all the amazing work that's happening here for, you know, homeless youth, Black Lives Matter, all of the things. And so I really wouldn't be surprised if you all got on the map of Eugene things to follow as well.
Well, that would be great. Yeah, I'm familiar with the federal interest in especially cahoots.
Right.
That, you know, I can't honestly say that Transponder has seen that at this point, but that would be welcomed.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the first time that I had really read about transponder was the Pride March for Black Trans Lives. And what I was very happy to see during Pride was all like, if trans lives don't matter, then, you know, they've got to be more inclusion in Pride as well, in gay and lesbian organizations, that you can't leave out trans and my language is failing me, but trans folks, gender diverse folks in this kind of greater movement of allyship and being seen. Yeah.
Absolutely.
See, even your dog agrees.
Oh my gosh, yes, my puppy's gonna get on the podcast.
That's right. I have much to say. Yep, yep.
Yes. Yeah. We've been really loving our community partnerships locally and Black Unity especially.
So who else are y'all hooked up with?
Yeah, so we've got one of our board members sits on the WECU committee. And are you familiar with that?
I am not.
Yeah, so that's one of the ways where a bunch of different community partners can kind of come together and have conversation. And, you know, there's, you know, all sorts of different organizations, including Centro and different governmental agencies and community partners who are serving the community. And, you know, I can say what some of our deepest work currently has happened with Black Unity, though for that protest, we also partnered with more than that. Mostly it was interesting. Different, you know, some folks were able to send speakers and other people were saying, well, we'll show up and march with you. Right. The Black Artists Collective, Black Liberation Artists Collective was one of them. But Black Unity definitely sent speakers. And then of the different organizations like HIV Alliance and Planned Parenthood, what I thought was really beautiful is we were wanting to center BIPOC voices as much as possible. And so even though those aren't necessarily BIPOC organizations, they sent people of color from their organization to speak.
Nice.
And then, you know, just in the way that we all live here and are involved in multiple groups, that just opened up different relationships and networking across all sorts of different levels of different organizations, which is still unfolding and something that's probably what I'm most passionate about this year is
being interconnected with other organizations.
Yeah. And definitely our BIPOC organizations specifically. Trans folks and gender diverse folks are in, you know, all kinds of communities and all identities. The intersectionality is already there. And that's one of the things that we're really highlighting between our groups is, you know, supporting one another, being in solidarity with one another, educating one another, and really teaching each other how to be accomplices with one another.
I like that. I like accomplices. It's more fun. It's more active than just being an ally. An ally is very important. I like being accomplished, an accomplice. It makes me feel more dangerous.
Yeah. Which, well, challenging oppression is a little bit dangerous, right?
You know, just from my little corner, it's an eye-opening experience right now. I think I said to you before we started, I'm late to the party, but I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, we're so glad you're here.
Ugh, yeah. And I'm glad to be meeting more people and talking about other people's stories and really highlighting that, you know, we're all people. Really.
Right.
Our struggles are very different. Our experiences are very different. And compassion can be had anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my absolutely bluebird of happiness thing. But, you know, you can't go out and fix what you're not aware of. And that's why I really appreciated seeing the articles in the weekly, because I'm like, I didn't even know that was here. What's happening with that? And, you know, I don't think about what's happening with COVID And I mean, I do know that mental health for everyone is really, really up right now. I mean, this COVID stuff is really hard. And even though I'm mostly an introvert, I still miss talking to people face to face.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And for our community, you know, some of the challenges that are maybe, you know, unique to our folks is, you know, a few things, right? So one is most of us are, for the most part, sheltered at home, right? There's ways right. in which we go out in the world, but we're spending a lot of time at home. And yeah. not everybody is living in a place where they can be safely out or feel supported. So that's one major thing. The other is that most of the surgeries, gender-affirming surgeries, were postponed indefinitely.
Oh, right.
And so folks are not having access to, frankly, the life-saving surgeries that they so desperately need. Yeah. And we, you know, the data is already there. We already know that when people do not have access to gender-affirming care, that the mental health just suffers. So, you know, you take a situation yeah. where you're right, everybody's mental health is up across the nation, and then you put that on top of it. And then, you know, there's our intersectionalities. I mean, you may be trans and you're also Black and brown yeah. or disabled. I mean, then there's all of these other right. ways that it starts getting layered. And so, yeah, the mental health piece is really, really a struggle. That's part of why we formed the partnership with As You Like It to have the gender affirming products. And also why we really increased the ability for people to get together in community.
You said something a few minutes back, and now it's completely off of my brain. Hopefully I'll remember it again. It's and plus two, for me, it really is expanding my understanding of intersectionality, of the differences in community, and how I don't understand the trans and gender diverse community, because it has not been my experience, but I want to, you know, I want to be a good ally and an awesome accomplice. And I feel like I'm just starting to grok some of the challenges, especially now with COVID and just the, and the general thoughts of, you know, being, I don't want to say different is not the word I want to say. Can you help me out with a word here? Not being
marginalized.
Marginalized, yes. How being marginalized is there's blowback from the counter protesters, as it were. You know, it's also a different kind of danger being trans and gender diverse now. And I don't know if that
really is.
Yeah,
it is. It is very much up. And in fact, trans murders have gone way up in this last year. And honestly, of that group, the ones who are mostly being murdered are Black trans women. Trans women are, you know, historically and currently the highest targets of murder. But Black trans women are even higher. And that's also impacting people's mental health right now.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can't feel safe in your community, it's something else again that I've been afraid out there in the world and stuff, but it's not to that extent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. And I can't imagine. And I can't imagine how to get up every day and go, well, today's a brand new day. And this is who I am. And, you know, I'm not going to apologize for it. So I'm just going to do it, which I think shows so much strength and it's amazing to me. I think when we were talking before, I was telling you that my mom lives across the road from two transgender women, and these women have lived there for a really long time. And I just, growing up with my folks, they were just like, well, all of the derogatory stuff. And yet when my father passed away, they were the first people that reached out to my mother and said, if there's anything we can do for you, just let us know. Yeah. And I'm like, so they, they had compassion. They had open hearts. They didn't let my folks past racism, bigotry stop them to be able to reach out. And I'm like, I don't know what else to tell anybody, but like, that's it in a nutshell. They're good people, and their choices about who they want to be and who they are has nothing to do with me except to accept them the way they want to be. Am I nuts? Am I crazy in that thing? Am I not going far enough in my understanding?
No, I don't think so. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, you can have an idea about folks until you get to know people. And those one-on-one connections. And I think the other thing you point to in that is the resiliency of the community. And, you know, there were many reasons for forming that protest. And one of them was to let us come together and feel our resiliency and feel our power and our solidarity with one another. And, you know, I heard from many community members afterwards that that was so crucial for them and gave them kind of a recharge to, you know, continue in their resiliency. One of the ways that our community tends to find that is through connection with one another. So it makes sense that that was one of the biggest needs that arose from the community when, you know, you're under attack from the federal government, you're under attack from, you know, local folks in your community and systemic oppression, and then COVID on top of it and everything that comes with it. What do you need more than anything is one another.
Yeah. For people to say, I see you. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. And celebrating who we are, celebrating our strength. Because there's many things that's true. And one of the things that I think often gets missed about marginalized communities is their resiliency and strength.
Yeah. Oh, I would agree 100%. It was one of the things we were talking about today is that, you know, I wake up every day as a cisgender white and I don't have to deal with being Black or being trans or that's, you know, I have my own issues, but those aren't on top of everything else. And it's not something, you know, that I can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels complex to me. And that's why I feel like I'm stumbling over my own lips a bit.
Which bit? The gender stuff?
Well, gender stuff and just trying to understand the resiliency. You know, you wake up every day and you say, I am this. And there is a greater world that says we don't see that and we don't respect that. And we're going to legislate against that or we're going to try to harm you. And right. I can't imagine the weight that that puts on somebody's shoulders, especially younger, but I guess it doesn't really matter, I would imagine.
I mean, I do think there is something to younger. I mean, we definitely know that trans youth have one of the highest rates of suicide. So there is something to that. And I think what it really points to is that, you know, it's not that you wake up and choose who you are, right? You are who you are. The choice is, you know, to what degree can you be out? And being out is not a static thing. You're not necessarily out to everyone in the same way. I mean, there's plenty of folks who are out in their personal life and not in their professional life, right? But there comes a point that for a lot of folks where it's no longer really a choice. And, you know, being a woman in this world is often dangerous, right? But there's not a way often to hide that. And so when you feel that it's gotten to that point, it's really just about how do you wake up and live your life despite it all.
Yeah. 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 And I had heard about the transgender youth do have the highest suicide rate. Do you think now with the advent of shows like, now it just left my brain, a young woman out of Florida, Jazz. I am Jazz. She had a TV show with her family. With some of the advent of the mainstreaming of trans and gender diverse folks. Do you think that that's helping bring that to the forefront, helping with parents that don't understand, that they're reaching out more? There's an acceptance level now in the past few years. Is all that starting to be a brighter light, or is it just media propaganda?
Well, what I would say is that we're very fortunate to be living in Oregon. So, you know, we often say, and not necessarily jokingly, that we wish we had a bus where we could drive around the country and bring everyone to Oregon, where OHP pays for trans health, where we have legal protections in our state that many states don't. What I can say is that in a way we live in a bubble, and that the level of acceptance that we do see here, though it's certainly not, you know, some idyllic situation, is light years ahead of what people are experiencing in other states. So, you know, when we look at these sorts of rates, you know, if we're talking about, you know, trans youth suicide rates, we're really looking at national rates. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen those going down. So we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the climate right now politically, it is so fractured that it's hard. You know, it feels very us and them instead of the inclusionary thing that we would like to have. But I'm glad that Eugene is a more inclusive, welcoming space. I know we can be better. We can always be better. But what would you suggest to people that want to be more ally, want to be, if they can't be an accomplice, how can they be a better ally to the trans and gender diverse community here in Eugene and Springfield?
Yeah, great question. So if someone is a parent, we've got a trans parent group. So that's for helping parents of trans kiddos or kids who are maybe just starting to talk about that. So helping the parents really wrap their minds around it. That's, I think, would be a really important resource to utilize. We also have an allies group and an allies Facebook page where people who are just trying to wrap their minds around it can talk with other allies. We have trainings that we can offer maybe to your workplace or to groups that you're part of, right? So we can come and help folks understand it more. I think really trying to understand something that feels foreign is probably the first step. And then beyond that, you know, there's some more simple things like when you introduce using your pronouns, right? Because that creates normalcy. And it also just is a very easy way to acknowledge that you're somebody who is aware enough to know that cis is not the only way. Binary is not the only way. And it also creates a safe way for somebody to tell you who they are. When we don't do that, it puts the burden on the person who is not cis to, you know, say something and figure out how to say it. And it can also be really uncomfortable. So, you know, those are some simple beginning steps. And then, you know, really finding people who you find to be good examples of allies and accomplices and talking with them more deeply, one-on-one.
Yeah. Can you give us, this could be a big ask, it's sort of the trans gender diverse 101?
Oh my gosh. Like right here, right now?
Like right here, like right now.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's like a lot. That's usually a 3-hour training at the minimum. Okay. So
hey, it's a big ask. So I understand if it's a big fat no, like pick up a book or something, Joj, but just for somebody
that's better answer. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say for somebody that's not even familiar with transponder or the trans gender diverse community, what do you want them to know in a 101 if there is such a thing for that?
Yeah, there is such a thing for that. And I guess my best answer would be, if that's truly information folks are wanting, reach out to us. We have all kinds of flexibility with trainings, and it doesn't have to be 3 hours, but we also have somebody on staff who is, that's what they do, right? Is do these kinds of trainings. So, and that's Oblio. So That's who you want giving your trainings. They're amazing and are really good at tailoring the trainings to the group that they're presenting for, right? So right. That's available. That's one of our resources. And so it's not something that, you know, we have to try and cram into our podcast. But I would also say, you know, just as a like entry point, ouch, puppy. My puppy is biting me.
What kind of puppy? I can't see.
Oh, he's very little. He's new and he's a mix. He's a part beagle, part chihuahua, and part terrier. But he thinks that I'm being very boring and wants me to play with him.
So cute.
Yeah. So let's see. What would I say? Well, the first is just to kind of know that we all grew up in the same community, in the same society, where we were all taught, for the most part, that, you know, gender is binary and that it has all to do with your genitals, right? So the very first 101 thought to start exploring is that we really have to break that apart, that, you know, people's biological bodies is their sex. That's not their gender. Gender is how you feel about yourself. And then there's gender expression, right? So then that's how you do your hair and do your clothes and express yourself to the world. And those are really three separate things. And none of them have anything to do with sexual orientation, yeah. Right? So then that's a whole other thing. And I think that when I talk to folks who are just very first trying to think about this, those are all jumbled together and kind of one and the same thing. And so that's the first step, is to really start exploring how those things are different from each other. And there's all kinds of good literature out there. There's all kinds of, you know, we have a lending library that people can come and check books out for free. We have trainings and we have groups and we have Facebook groups. So there's lots of ways to start exploring that with us. And then from there, I guess the next kind of basic point that I would put out there is that, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to be trans. And a lot of people struggle with feeling like they're not trans enough. That's a common feeling. So, you know, there's just gender is, I wouldn't even call it a spectrum. I would, you know, like a line, and you're somewhere on this line. It's much more 3D and cosmic than that. And, you know, and it's fluid. And so people can feel about themselves a variety of ways and use all sorts of words to describe that, pronouns to try and convey that. And really, when you're talking to somebody and you're trying to understand what they mean, you know, you can just ask, but also to be respectful and say, do you want to talk about this? Because a lot of times, you know, marginalized folks end up feeling like they're sort of the spokesperson or the educator, and that they don't get to just be in the world and go buy an apple at the grocery store without having to talk about it. And so, you know, sometimes people are going to be totally down to talk about it, and sometimes they're not. So that would be just another piece of education, that consent is really important when asking people for help in understanding this, especially if they're part of the community that you're trying to understand more about. Yeah. And that, you know, it's okay to also ask others. It's okay to ask allies and the internet if it's just the definition of a word. Yeah. And, you know, and then to seek more understanding through books, through groups, and through trainings.
Yeah. When, I can't remember when this was. It was quite a while ago. My brother's wife, we were talking about when new spurts of language were coming out, non-binary, gender fluid. I'm trying to think of a bunch more that happened. They all kind of came out at the same time. And I remember her saying, I don't even know what that means. Like, she could not wrap her head around that there wasn't male, female. She like gender fluid was just like, I don't even know what that means. And I'm like, but you know, I never knew what to tell her about that. But I do know that in my life, it is something that has come up in the last decade. It is new language for for those of us who are a little bit older. And I'm glad to have this new language, and I'm glad to have a new understanding that not everything is black and white. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't change who people are. They are who they are, right? But now we just have more better language for it. Am I close? Did I miss it?
Yeah, you're close. You're close. I think the thing that I would add to that is, yeah, there are words that are new, certainly. And non-binary folks have been around for as long as we can, you know, remember and have recorded history of, and all over the world. Yeah. A lot of times the words were different, or it was being erased. And so there's a lot of really interesting literature on that. But, you know, one of the things that is also part of the Gender 101 kind of notion is that the identity itself is not new. And it's not particular to any culture. What I think some folks are feeling is more new are the words or mm-hmm. the level of awareness in our culture. And yeah. So, you know, that's fair. And when we really start, you know, I was talking to my sister, and she's, you know, she's Mormon, she's more conservative, we have a very loving, good relationship. And she herself was trying to wrap her mind around my own genderqueer non-binary self. And she just couldn't get it. And I said, you know, there's a lot of assumptions that get made about who you are just based on your body that may or may not be true. And there's all kinds of different words that we used to use. And she said, oh, like when we were kids, and there are people that would say, I'm a tomboy. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying that non-binary people are tomboys, but what I'm saying is that we tend to make assumptions about people's gender, that we're assuming their gender. We assume what they like and don't like. We assume how they want to dress. And we're all reinforced in certain ways, right? So if we're assumed to be female and we behave in those ways, we get reinforced if we play along with the roles. We also get punished if we don't, right? In these kind of societal norming ways. And so a lot of trans and gender diverse folks have internalized transphobia that they first have to work through. And so it's not like we've never had these thoughts that others are trying to struggle with as well, because we're all part of this society. Yeah. But, you know, there's really this, you know, with my mom, I'll use another example with my mom, who really was having trouble getting it. I said, just play a game with yourself. When you walk through the world and you see somebody, assume you don't know their gender. And in your head, just think they, until you are told by them how they identify. And I said, what this will do is show you how often you assume that you think you know somebody's gender just by looking at them.
Wow. And how'd she do?
She reported back that it was startling to her and really helpful. And she started to get it, I think, as much as she's going to right now. But, you know, it at least moved her from a place of, you know, this was just so alien, so foreign, to at least having an entry point, which was that, you know, that she makes a lot of assumptions that may or may not be correct about others, and that she's actually waiting to hear, right? Then it opens you up for curiosity, like wanting to know somebody's identity. And that's where, when we introduce with our pronouns, you know, if you're really practicing the not knowing, it's really exciting to be told.
Yeah.
Well, instead of feeling
awkward.
I'm
very proud of her.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm not sure that my mother would do that. And I can think of a number of people in my family that would not do that. So
and not everybody's does, right? So then,
right.
Then we're back to that mental health conversation. So yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you for like diving into the 101 a little bit.
You're welcome.
I was like, wait, that is a big ask. And I feel like I should have asked it at the very beginning, but I'm glad that we got here anyway. If people want to know more about Transponder, what your mission is, what you're doing, how to get involved in all of your wonderful services and groups and education and all the things that you all do. Hello, how do you guys even sleep? what's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, so we have a website that's pretty comprehensive. So transponder.community, and that's going to have all of our resources and events and ways to get in touch with us right there.
Awesome. And y'all are just open to lots of questions and people that are just looking for more information. Yes?
Absolutely.
Awesome. And did I hear through the grapevine that y'all are having a an event coming up soon?
Ooh, you did hear. Yes, here. So like, you know, all of the nonprofits right now who would normally be having, you know, galas and their big fundraisers, we're all trying to figure out how to do this virtually and to be safe. Yeah. So we're having a Halloween themed spooky ungala on the October 30th from 7 to 9. It's going to be on Zoom. There's going to be costume contests and surprise performances and some art revealing, as well as entertainment. And we'll also be reporting on what Transponder's been doing for the year. So you can go to our website and you can purchase tickets there and get the link to join us and come have fun.
That's
safely.
Amazing and creative. And I'm sick of COVID, you know, I mean, I'm still practicing all the things and being safe and smart and doing all the required stuff. And I want to come to this party in person.
Oh, us too. Yeah. But, you know, our county, it just keeps climbing these numbers.
Yeah, right. The most important thing right now is that everybody be safe and smart and do the right thing.
Absolutely. Even though we're all so tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it will get better. This is not forever. It's a moment in time. We just have to be able to take a deep breath and breathe through it, live through it. Then we have something to talk about later.
Oh, yeah. My kids say we're living through a significant historical moment. My grandkids are going to say you were alive in COVID. So they seem to have that perspective.
Wow. How old are your kids?
11 and 15.
Wowzer, Von Bowserton. Yeah, that's rough to have them at home. Good heavens. Oh,
yeah, they wish that they were, you know, they love going to school and seeing their friends. So.
Oh. Poor kittens. I'm so sorry for all of that. We would all like to see our friends.
Absolutely.
So winding down this fabulous conversation, is there anything else that you would like the people to know? Or me to know?
Yeah, good question. I would say, you know, finding ways to volunteer is always helpful for any of the communities that you're interested in supporting. I think a lot of us don't know what to do right now, or that the asks are always money. And, you know, with so many people having lost their jobs and economic hardship, that's hard for people to do right now for a lot of folks. Yeah. So, you know, another way to plug in is that, you know, we have volunteer opportunities that people can do from home and do safely. So that's one thing. The other is that we absolutely love connecting with folks. So don't be shy. Come and find us. And if you are shy, let us know. And we can figure out how to get you involved in a way that feels as comfy as it possibly can. And there's a lot of different ways to be involved with us and feel connected. We don't want anybody feeling like they're just alone right now.
That's amazing. And I'm going to go take a look at those volunteer opportunities when we're done.
Great. Yay! Great. Yeah, we have a volunteer coordinator and named Felix, and they will be happy to get you plugged in.
Fantastic. Well, River, thank you so much for talking to me today about Transponder and all the amazing work that you guys are doing. And I really appreciate your patience and forbearance as I tripped over my own lips. Really
We're
appreciate
all
that. We're yeah. all learning. Yeah. And I'm a good poster child for, you know, it's okay. Go ahead and trip over your own mouth. It's not actually going to kill you.
Ab- Absolutely. And we do not throw people away or cancel them for trying to learn and getting it wrong sometimes. It's all about, you know, helping support each other, calling each other in and saying, here's a better way to do it.
That's, you said that to me the other day when we spoke about, instead of calling people out, you are calling people in. And please just explain that, because I loved it so much that I took it to my book club. And I think that's, it's an important idea that we will end on this idea, but I loved it. Could you explain that?
Yeah. So I think that there is a lot of cancel culture that goes on, a lot of shaming people for getting it wrong, even though they might be trying to get it right. And that's not the way, in my mind, to support one another. It's really important to name when something isn't happening the best way, to give people better language, to give people better tools and understandings. But there's even a way in which with each other in marginalized communities, we can be the most vicious to one another, right? Because we're all under the same struggle. And we actually feel like we're more likely to listen to one another. And so there's a way in which when we give each other feedback, we can sometimes be the harshest with people who are the most willing to try and listen. So a different way of doing that is to call people in, which is to say, you know, you matter. This connection matters to me. You matter to me. And I am willing to sit in this space with you and say, you know, here's how this could be different. And, you know, that is such a different way of giving feedback.
Yeah. Very different and very welcoming. And it does, it feels different in my body to know that somebody will call me in and help me understand what I did instead of call me out and berate me or, you know, do what all the other things are. So I really appreciate that language. I'm going to be using that from now on.
Great. Yeah. I mean, we all want to belong, right? So
yeah,
still leaves us within the group and still growing.
I love that. Thank you for explaining that. Thank you again for talking to me. I absolutely adore you.
Oh, and, likewise.
Someday we will meet live and in person.
Oh, I will have the biggest hug when it happens.
I know. Hugs. I miss hugs. Okay.
Yes.
I have to get off now so I can cry.
Thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you, me, and us
as transponder.
Oh, I adore you. And I'm sure we will talk again soon.
All right. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And now for some housekeeping. HugeCast would like to thank its contributors, volunteers, and sponsors. A huge thanks goes out to Mark Davis at Eugene Tech for providing guidance and enthusiasm, to Trifoya for providing equipment, space, beverages, and the occasional pizza, and to That Supergirl for providing web hosting. Our producer is Kimberly Noel. Music and soundscapes conceived by Mike Jones. Audio editors include Mike Jones and Christopher Mitchell. Audio engineer is Christopher Mitchell. HugeCast hosts are the amazing Adam Wendt and the delightful JoJo Jensen. If you like what you hear, please give us a review. 5 stars would be nice. And who knows, we might even read your comments during the show. So thanks for listening, or sleeping through it. Either way, thanks.